Thank you. Those are the words of perhaps the most famous episode of a blessing being given in the Bible, where Jacob calls all his sons together and pours out this blessing to cover each of the 12 names. That's our subject for this morning. It is hugely fulfilling and a real privilege when any of us can get alongside someone else, maybe someone who's struggling with a practical thing, and give them the resources that they need to make that thing work through. Or to get alongside someone who's struggling to find the Lord and just say that word that will lift them up, that will encourage them, that will be a blessing to them. What a privilege. And I absolutely love blessing, which is why I've really enjoyed this service, I think, because it has been so far all about, and will continue to be, all about blessings. I presume you gathered that we started our service with a blessing. The Lord be with you and also with you. That's a two-way blessing. As is our custom, we'll end our service with a blessing. And then we punctuated our service by blessing people who are going to be deacons from now on, and Claudia as she leaves this place. Well, now I want to speak about it in more detail, because I felt God wanted to say to us, do you know God's blessing? And I believe he wants to remind us that we are invited to live in the blessings of God. And the reason that's so important is I also believe that so many of you are really struggling to know God's blessing. And that is a tragedy. It's a waste, and it is bad, because his blessings are free. They are a gift of grace poured out to us. Imparting blessings is what God is all about. It's what a life with God is all about. And it is what our impacts on other people should be all about. Blessing should be at the heart of it. And yet it's a word that we hardly ever use. So I want to deal with that. I want to deal with the pattern of blessings. Because blessings come from God. They come down to us. And then they flow from us. And I want to look at how that works out. So let's begin with a little bit of a study about where blessings come in Scripture. Do you realize that every time God blesses, he effectively gives a little gift of himself to us? It's grace. The word for bless or blessed is so crucial. It occurs about 400 times just in the Old Testament alone. Think of it as being when God gives a little bit of himself, his nature, his love, and pours it out to the person who's the recipient. And we see evidence of this taking place throughout the Bible. In fact, right from the very beginning of the Bible, you don't need to turn to it, I'll read it to you. Genesis chapter 20, and God is just starting this process of dealing with us as people. Verse 20, and God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly across the earth, across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems, and every winged bird. And God saw that it was good. Verse 21, and God blessed them. He starts with creation, and then he goes on to bless it. And he does exactly the same with human beings. So God created man in his own image. This is verse 26. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Verse 27. God blessed them. God made creation because he wanted something to bless. God made human beings because he wanted someone to bless. And after all that amazing creative work on the seventh day, he loved it so much, He blessed it. Go to the second chapter, verse 2, and we read this. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. And in that process of giving his blessing to the seventh day, God is blessing the human race with the ability to experience rest. And I wonder how many Christians struggle with torments and struggle with rest because they don't allow that gift of God's blessing on the Sabbath to be a day of Sabbath rest. Let's move forward a little bit to chapter 9, and we come to the flood. The end of the flood, we read, God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. So God loves to bless so much that he creates human beings to be blessed and then to prosper. But he also created human beings in his image. And that means not just to be blessed, but also to give his blessing. And of course, there's the famous verse that you'll know well, Genesis 12, verse 2, where that blessing is spoken out to Abraham. This is what he says. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And all people on earth will be a blessing through you. So now it's not just a person, there's an entire nation that he's setting apart to be different. They wouldn't have the sacrifices, including child sacrifices, that other nations would have. They were to have justice and righteousness. They were to have cities of refuge built into their law. They were to have provision for the poor, for the vulnerable, for the alien. They were to be different from the nations around them. They were to be an example to the nations around them. They were to be blessed, the nations around them. God's people are intended to be a blessing. So here's this idea that we've come across this morning. This notion that blessing begins with God, that it then pours down to us, to you, to me. But it doesn't stop there. The blessing then flows through Abraham, through you, through me, to all people around us, to the entire earth. And that is going to be the way that God spreads his blessing. And if that was the end of the story, big celebration, we'd all be smiling, everything's fantastic, it's great, and we could go home joyful. There is just the one slight problem. Blessings only flow when people are living God's way of living. Because righteousness accompanies blessings. Those two things go together. And again we see that God's people struggled to understand that. And I want to illustrate that with a little skip through further in Genesis in particular, to see how those blessings that God was pouring out didn't come quite as they were intended because people weren't living as God intended. Let's begin with Abraham, the man who's just been told, I will bless you and all the peoples of the earth through you. That's the blessing. It will come. But sadly, with Abraham, he was beginning to become an old man. And nothing seemed to be happening. Where was this son coming from? So he took matters into his own hands. He slept with his maidservant, and Ishmael was the product of that relationship. Do you know, in the ancient world, inheritance and major blessings would always go to the firstborn, usually the firstborn son. Always. But as you read through Genesis again and again, you see that doesn't happen. Ishmael was the firstborn son. Did he receive the blessing of God? No, he didn't. The blessing came through Isaac. So let's jump on to Isaac. Isaac had two sons, Esau, Jacob. Esau was the one born first. So he clearly would get the blessing, right? Wrong. He's not the one who received the blessing. It was Jacob, the second born. Why? Let me remind you of the story. You've got this lovely couple, Isaac and Rebekah, and they have two twin sons. So we've got Esau, the huntsman, the man who likes the big outdoors. He's the hunter. And you've got Jacob. He's the quiet, stay at home, read a book kind of guy. And look at the tragic verse that we read concerning their parents' attitude to them. Just note this. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau. But Rebekah loved Jacob. In that one verse, you've got the hint of a world of pain about to come as these two children battle to find the love that they hope they should have got from both parents. And they would spend the rest of their lives battling together. Let me remind you of what happened on one occasion where, familiar story again, Jacob's at home. He's been preparing some food and he's made this stew. And it is some stew. It's not just Covent Garden stew. It is amazing. It is delicious. And his brother comes in. He's been in the fields. We don't know for how long. Days, perhaps. He's hungry. He's been in the open sun. He's starving. He's desperate. And he pleads to his brother, give me some food, please. I'm starving. I'm going to die. And his brother says, opportunity. You give me your birthright and I'll give you some food. And so he saw things to himself. My throat feels like it's been cut. My stomach's desperate. I'm desperate for food so much. What does it matter? I'm going to die anyway. Yes, and he sells his birthright. And the Bible says he had contempt for what was a blessing that should have come from God. Well, a little bit later on, we see that Jacob goes on and he deceives his father. Ultimately, he receives the blessing that should have been his brother's. And when Esau hears about it, he's devastated. We read this a little later on in Genesis. Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessings his father had given him. He said to himself, I will kill my brother, Jacob. What a family torn apart because people weren't living as God had called them to live. Because of deception and because of someone who took a blessing with contempt. And as a result, Jacob had to run away and spent decades away from his family, thinking his brother was going to kill him. It's not quite the end of the story, actually, because a few years later, a really interesting thing happened. And Jacob was told that his brother was coming to meet him. His brother Esau and all his family were coming to meet Jacob and all his family. And he was thinking to himself, well, how's this going to end? Does he still hate me? Is he going to kill me? So he sent his whole family away. And we see in this picture an image of the grace of God, even where people have not been living righteously. And you read at the end of that story, the night before the brothers met up again, this bizarre situation where Jacob is wrestling with a stranger. And we realize that the stranger is an angel of God. And they are wrestling and wrestling. And it's a picture of Jacob coming back to his God, trying to make things right. And we read that the stranger says, let me go. And Jacob says, I will not let you go until you bless me. It's interesting. He'd received all sorts of blessing through this inheritance. He'd received the blessing of power, the blessing of finances and resources, but he hadn't got the blessing of his father, the love of his father that he craved. But now he comes back, and when he puts things right with God, the stranger blesses him in a remarkable way. First, actually, he puts his hip out of joint. Hadn't seemed like much of a blessing. But I just wonder if that's got something, is something along the lines of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul who had a thorn in the flesh, something that kept him humble, something that kept him in need of his Lord, kept him in place. From that moment on, we read he had a hobble, a limp. But he blessed him with something else. And he blessed him with something astounding. He changed his name from Jacob to Israel and promised that all of that blessing of God would come through him. Which brings us to the passage that Jackie read to us, chapter 49 of Genesis. And it's the story of Jacob gathering all of these people together. Now, all sorts of things have happened. If you read through Genesis, it's such an exciting story of people walking away from God, trusting God, coming back to God. It's amazing. But now he gathers them all. Remember, ancient history shows that it's the firstborn that gets the blessing. Is that what we read as Jacob pours out the blessing to each of his 12 sons in turn? Well, at the end, we read this. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their father said to them when he blessed them, giving each the blessing appropriate, fitting, just right to each one of them. Was it Reuben, the oldest son, who should have got the inheritance that got it? Well, we read, Reuben, you're my first son. You might be the first sign of my strength, excelling in honor, excelling in power, but turbulent as the waters, you will no longer excel. Why? For you went up onto your father's bed, onto my couch, and defiled it. The blessing didn't come to him. What about Simeon and Levi, the next two? Their swords, we read, are weapons of violence. They killed men in their anger and hamstrung oxen as they pleased. You might remember that their sister Dinah was raped and they took revenge brutally and unlawfully. They don't receive the blessing through their generations. The blessing eventually comes through Judah. And did you notice the words that were read out concerning Judah? You are a lion's cub, Judah. You will hold a scepter. You will tether your donkey to a vine. It's the image of a prince not riding into battle but coming in peace. And it's these images that would be used later on by all the prophets predicting the coming of the Messiah. The same images that are then picked up in the New Testament to describe Jesus. The blessing comes where God recognizes it is deserving. So why is this? Why is there this apparent contradiction? Well, let me jump forward a few more centuries to Deuteronomy 28. Let me put it in context. We're at the point where all of the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel, have followed through a whole series of events where they have failed to live as God called them to live. They've failed to live up in a way that allows them to be fully blessed. And so we find them. Now, they've been in captivity. God's rescued from that. They've still rebelled. And now they're at the point of crossing the River Jordan. 40 years they've been in the desert. A whole generation has had to pass for that iniquity to die away. This is a new chance. But before they go to this new land, this is what is spoken to them. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations. All of these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. You will be cursed in the city and cursed in the chapter. In the country. In the very next chapter, just as they're about to cross the Jordan, they realize how badly they've got things wrong. So they commit to start again. They make a new covenant. But it is a covenant that is dependent on choices. And in chapter 30, this rather uncomfortable choice comes their way. Let me read the words to you. Verse 19 of chapter 30. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if you read on from this point, again and again in Scripture, the people that God longed to bless failed to live up to the covenant and failed to receive the full blessing that should have come to them, and instead lives lives of turmoil, the curse of a life outside his full blessings. Wow. Now, we started off really joyful at the idea of God's blessings. If I ended the story here, we'd be miserable at the prospect of when we get things wrong. This now becomes depressing. But that's not the end of the story. Because God knows that we can't do this on our own. And therefore, in his grace, in his love, he gave us Jesus. He gave us Jesus, a gift of total grace, that just by believing in him, we would know this gift of life and an end to the curse of death. Galatians 3 verse 13 says this: this is what he has done for you if you've accepted him as Lord and Savior. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. And so the horror of the cross has become the good news of Christ, and the good news to all who believe. And that, for you, means two wonderful things that I want you to take away today. The first thing I want to come, both of them come in the form of a question to ask yourself. Do you know and are you living in the blessing of God? Good response. And I hope that's the response of all of you. Because the call for God's people is to live joyfully and receive all the blessings that God longs to pour out to us. So I want to encourage you to look for, to embrace, to acknowledge, to celebrate God's blessing in your life. Because you cannot give anyone else a blessing if you don't know it yourself. We need to come to a point of understanding and appreciating how richly we have been blessed by God. And not because of anything that you have done that is amazing, because of everything that he has done that is amazing. It's because of the humility that you once demonstrated in accepting your need for him. When the greatest teacher that has ever lived gave the greatest sermon that has ever been taught, he began that sermon with one word: blessed. The Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the poor. Why? Not because it's great to mourn and it's great to be poor, of course. But because those who are in that circumstance are far more likely to know their need of Almighty God and turn to him and know his blessing. And now for you, for us, life in the kingdom of God means blessing, means his love, means his favor, his presence is available and poured out to you. So do you know, and do you go through every day knowing that blessing that is yours? When you wake up tomorrow morning, will you be rejoicing? Thank you, Lord, for who I am because of you. Do you know those blessings? Do you count them one by one? I'm not going to play the music as I did a few weeks ago. Do you do that? Do you know the blessing of the Savior that stepped down from heaven and gave himself for you? Do you know the God of this world who was willing to die for you? Do you know the God who was raised from the dead for you? Do you know the blessing of the God who then returned to be in his rightful place in eternity in heaven at the right hand of God, interceding for you? Do you know the blessing of salvation? Do you know the blessing of forgiveness of sins? Do you know the blessing of a new day? Do you know the blessing of the Holy Spirit that we celebrated last week, poured out for you? Do you know the blessings of a guaranteed eternity and the presence of God with you, whatever church you're at next week, whatever situation you find yourself in, the blessing of God with you? Do you know it? Then why don't you have a big smile on your face from ear to ear? Because you should. Know it and live it and speak it and declare it to yourself. But remember, there's another aspect to this. Blessings come from God. Blessings come to us, but then we give blessings out. So the second question I want to ask you is, are you passing on that blessing to others? I hope you are. In what ways are you being a blessing to others? Are there simple little ways that you get alongside other people and just pick them up? Are there things that you can do for them that make a real difference? Do you know, on one day this week, I was in hospital. I was visiting Lorna, actually. And I was in a ward with a number of stroke patients. And I was having a chat with someone else who was visiting his mum, and he said to me, "It is so hard, isn't it? When there's no response, it's so hard." And we had a chat and we had a conversation and we just chatted and I listened to his story. And I hope I was able to bless him. In fact, I know I was, because he said at the end of it, "Thank you. It was such a pleasure to just feel lifted up again." That's what we can do as we bless other people. Do you find ways to bless people? Do you find ways not just to bless through little actions, but through your words? I want to ask you a question. Do you know the power of the word of a blessing? Do you appreciate that power? In Scripture, in the New Testament, we often read, "Greet one another with a holy kiss," and we don't really know what that means. But I get the sense that in holiness, with excitement, in Christ, in at one, they spoke and greeted one another. There's certainly evidence that's the sort of thing that was going on. Almost every single letter and epistle has at some point within it a greeting. "Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ." Why don't we greet people like that anymore? Romans 15, we read this: "May the God who gives endurance give you a spirit of unity." If you hear that someone is struggling with doubt, with anxiety, pray God's confidence to them. May you know certainty of the Lord in your life. If they're struggling with anxiety, then say to them, "May you know the peace of God." Bless them with your words. Do you realize that when you do that, this is not just like a goodwill meeting, "I hope you have a nice day." You are speaking out the power of God into them. It is God who's at work when you bless. It's a positive biblical statement that invokes the blessing of God in the life of the person you're speaking to. It's an instrument of God's love. Do you realize the power that your words can have to do good or to do harm? This is what the Bible says, Proverbs 16:24. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, healing to the bones. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. That's Proverbs 12:25. And in the New Testament, you know that the word for bless or blessed that is spoken, the Greek word means, or is, sorry, eulogio. Eulogio. Does that sound slightly familiar? Eulogize. Eulogy. Speak well of someone. As you interact, I wonder, do you speak well of them? Do your words bless the people around you? Because if they don't, I've got a recommendation for you. Don't speak. Speak well of your brothers and sisters and the people around you. It is what God expects, because that is to bless, even if they're not present with you. When you do so, you direct God's goodness to them. You intercede for them. You stand in the gap for them. You come before the throne of grace and you speak God's power. Your words of prayer, your words spoken directly to them, invoke the power, the grace, and the blessing of God on them. But interestingly, there is an element where blessings and curses do occur again. Because it is possible for us to say careless words about other people or to other people. There are so many children in this world that hear careless words from their parents who might say, "You're stupid, you're hopeless, you'll never amount to anything." Those words are just the opposite of a blessing. They're like a curse that cuts to the heart. And there are so many people that have been broken as a concept. Matthew 5:22, still the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Anyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Do not judge, or you will be judged." I want to encourage you to be really careful about the words you use and celebrate the people around and bless them through the words that come from you, because you have the opportunity to knock them down or lift them up. So bless them. Be a blessing to them. And the great thing is, because of what Jesus has done, because of his coming, because of the new covenant, if you are a person here, and I know there are probably most of us have had words said to him, to us, words of accusation, words of hurt, words of criticism or judgment, and they've cut us to the bone. Jesus comes to set you free. So as we go into communion, know the freedom of that as I say these words to you. May the Lord God Almighty, in his mercy, obliterate every word, every statement, every experience and invisible barrier that you have constructed that is keeping his blessing from reaching your heart. May the unrelenting love of God pursue you and surprise you with his compassion for you. May the forgiveness of Jesus Christ restore and renew your heart. May the living waters of the Holy Spirit fill you and flow through you to a struggling, broken world around you. May God's peace rest upon you, and may the Lord fill you with his joy. May his joy become your strength, and may this occur in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Know that release from God.